Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Thursday, September 6th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564. If you prefer not to talk, join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino. Or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Hello, everyone. We are having technical difficulties as usual. I'm going to bring Trey Patterson online right now, and I'm going to have to hang up. Trey, are you there, bud?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy.
I'm hanging up. Just go ahead, sir. Go talk.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Weigh In Sports. This is Trey Patterson. We're having some technical difficulties tonight, as Tarvin told you, so bear with us. We try to get this show on the road, as they say. Tarvin should be back with us shortly. One of the first things I want to talk about tonight is the Dallas Cowboys game last night. So if you're ready to talk some NFL, we have give me a preview of what we're going to talk about. We'll break down the Dallas Cowboys win, the big win up in the world champion New York Giants house last night. We'll talk about our top five NFL games of the week. And then, of course, folks, we're going to talk about our 10 biggest, best games of the college football week two. And that'll be something that hopefully a lot of you guys are interested in and are ready to hear about. So that's what our show is going to talk about. Tonight, we'll hopefully get you guys to call in and weigh in on us today. So first things first, I think a lot of people had to be surprised that the Dallas Cowboys took out the New York Giants, the world champion New York Giants, last night in New York. I know that Tarvin and I both had predicted a giant win in that game, and you didn't see a lot of NFL analysts in any forum, whether it's ESPN or CBS, picking the New York Giants to lose. And in fact, it's been since 2009 that we had a world champion go down in week one. So kind of a big deal for the New York Giants to lose their opener. And how did they do it? And a lot of you guys who saw the game can attest to the fact that Tony Romo played an incredible game. 3 touchdowns in the game, which were the real difference maker, was Tony Romo throwing to not Dez Bryant. Miles Austin got one, but the real matchup was Kevin Ogletree. And he's the name that you're probably wondering in your fantasy team. You're probably trying to pick him up right now. And so Kevin Ogletree is the big star for the Dallas Cowboys. And Tarvin, whenever you're back on, let me know, buddy. So, how did and the big matchup not only was Ogletree, but it seemed to be that as soon as the New York Giants got a certain cornerback in the game, and his name remains escaping right now, but as soon as he came in the game, and Tarvin, maybe you saw this, they were picking on this kid left and right. And he's the reason. In the big third down end of the game, who do they throw against? This cornerback. So the New York Giants secondary could be in a little trouble this season. And maybe they're not going to defend. Obviously, very tough to do in the NFL. But so that's week one, the big surprise, first game of the season. So looking forward to more like that. So let's talk about our next five NFL games. Hopefully we can get Tarvin back on here.
I'm on, but we are having problems. Blog Talk Radio decides usually 5 minutes before showtime to screw up. So just trying to work with these guys to see if they understand the meaning of good customer service. It's not working right now, but I think I'll straighten them out. How's everything going tonight?
Good, man. We're just talking about the big game last night, Tarvin, and Tony Romo and Kevin Ogletree just taking down those defending champs. Did you watch the game? What did you think?
Yeah, I watched it, and we talked before the game started, and I just had a feeling the Cowboys were going to pull this one out, man. We talked before it, and everybody's been beating up the Cowboys for a long time, and you know, they came in and did in the draft what we talked about, Trey. They recruited some good corner. They actually signed a big corner and drafted one. So you could tell a big difference when you have two lockdown corners on your team and you can bring some extra men to get to Eli Manning. That was the key to success last night.
Yeah, you know, early in the game, Tarvin, and I didn't mention this earlier, but I was actually thinking this was going to be the same old Cowboys team. I wasn't impressed with their offensive line play. I thought that, you know, this was, you know, the same old Cowboys struggle. But, you know, really the defense for the Cowboys showed just a remarkable recovery. I mean, Brandon Carr was extremely physical with the receivers, and so was Claiborne on the LSU. They traded up for that pick. During our draft show, I was really big on that, on them moving up to get him. And it really proved successful last night. And who knew that Kevin Ogletree, who I'm sure is a lot of big fantasy people are picking him up today, who knew he would shine the way he did?
Yeah, man, I wasn't impressed with Dallas, man, honestly. But I was very, very unimpressed with the Giants. Is it me, or do the Giants start like this every year, Trey? I mean, just so lethargic. It looks like, honestly, they didn't even try last night, man. Because the Cowboys, all they kept doing is trying to give them yards by penalties, Trey. Every time the Cowboys would do something good, another penalty would back them up. So, I mean, the Giants played terrible. Do you agree with that?
They certainly. I mean, to be honest, it was a rough game. The Giants looked, you know, their D line wasn't as dominant as I think a lot of us thought it would be in game one. Although Pierre Paul was certainly good, you know, he got his sack in. But you know, the biggest thing, and I didn't mention this guy's name, was Tryon. Every time this cornerback came in the game, they were picking on him. And so if the Giants can't you get healthier at cornerback, and this guy obviously doesn't need to be their number three cornerback, they're going to have some trouble because, I mean, Tony Romo just ate this guy up, and Kevin Ogletree was schooling this guy on double moves, and so was Miles Austin. So this Tryon kid is going to give the Giants problems, Tarvin, so that's one of the things that you have to think about.
Yeah, and another thing about the Cowboys, I mean, this Ogletree guy, where did he come from? That's all they need. It's a third receiver like that to let Dez Bryant Austin get open a little more. And did you see his running back flipping my mind from Oklahoma? Did you see how hard he ran last night?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the starter for Dallas, right?
Yeah, I can't even think of his
Murray.
Name from Oklahoma.
Murray, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but he impressed me last night. It was just impressive the way he ran behind an offensive line that looked like it was having problems. And he just kept running hard and broke one big one. But, you know, the Cowboys are going to be tough now, Trey, with these three. If Ogletree keeps playing the way he is, you know Dez Bryant, the way he's going to play. What do you think this means for the East?
Well, yeah, I don't like to look, you know, too far into week one. But, you know, if the Cowboys had beat the Giants once last year, they're in the playoffs and the Giants aren't. Which, obviously, we don't have a Super Bowl champion defending Giants. So, to me, this was a big stepping stone for Dallas in the fact that they severely struggled against the New York Giants last year, and it was that matchup that kept the Cowboys out of the playoffs. So, you know, had they won one of these matchups last year, they're in the playoffs. So, they've already won one this year. So, it's an important win against a division opponent. Anytime the Cowboys or anybody in the East wins against the division, it's going to be an important win.
Yeah, very important. I mean, the Cowboys are back. You know, I'm still not sold on Tony Romo. I'm still not sold on that offensive line. And I'm still not sold on Garrett. So those three things, you know, I'm not a big Cowboys supporter. But I'm not on their bandwagon just yet, Trey. Just like you said, it's week one. You really don't know what people have yet. It's almost still a preseason game, really. But big for the Cowboys to get this win. And you want to go ahead and break down some of the NFL games this week?
Absolutely, Carvin, absolutely. So, you know, we previewed what our top five, you know, in our, you know, you and I sat down, we looked at the NFL schedule, and we said, what are the top five NFL games that we think are the most intriguing this week? Number five, Tarvin, that we picked out was Buffalo at the New York Jets. And so, you know, you want to talk about this. I think this is a game that ESPN has certainly hyped up. I mean, we've heard the whole Tebow this, Tebow that debate. Well, here's the thing, Tarvin. You know, this game is at the Jets. They're hosting this game in the Meadowlands. But Buffalo may be a better team than the New York Jets are. I mean, right now, I mean, Buffalo made some really good offseason moves, picking up their some defensive players. I think that the Buffalo may go into the Meadowlands and win this game, Tarvin, even with the whole we haven't seen this wildcat from Tim Tebow. We don't even know yet. You know, they're going to blow our mind. And the NFL teams are going to have to really prep for it. And then, you know, Mark Sanchez is going to be so much more successful. What do you think about this matchup, Tarvin?
You know, I saw the Jets play in the preseason, and I believe everyone's believing that they're not going to be as good as people say that, you know, as you expect the Jets to be of the last couple of years. But I really think they're holding something back. And even if they aren't, I believe at home the first game of the year on a Sunday, they'll beat Buffalo. And the line is moved from like 5 to 3, and the Jets are a 3-point favorite. I like the Jets to win. That's funny, by a field goal this weekend, Trey. I think Tebow's going to get two touchdowns this weekend.
Ooh, wow. All right. I'm going to pull a Lee Corso on you, Tarvin. Not so fast.
I think he's going to get down inside the 5, and you know they're not going to put Sanchez in there.
I think you're right. I think the outcome may be different. I see a lot of people who are on the Buffalo bandwagon. I'm not so sure they're going to make the playoffs, but I don't have the Jets very successful this year, so I'm going to pick Buffalo by 3 in this game.
Okay, we're route opposites. But Tebow's going to get it done, and then after this you might not hear any more Tebow, but they're going to let him come in that first game, get some success, and it'll be over. What's the next game?
You know, the next game that we had, Tarvin, was Atlanta and Kansas City. This is obviously the Falcons come in with a new offensive coordinator. We've heard from certain folks on our show. Sonny called in and said, you know, hey, you like the Falcons offensive coordinator. I thought I've loved what they've done in the preseason about more passing versus running with this, you know, amazing offense. Matt Ryan, you know, Julio Jones, Roddy White. Kansas City, a team that I picked to win their division, Tarvin, you know, they got Peyton Hillis and Jamaal Charles back, and, you know, can Matt Castle be the quarterback that they thought he was? And so in this game, Tarvin, even though I had Kansas City picked to win the division, I think the Falcons roll in this game, and that new offense just rolls. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are hurting on defense right now, and I think Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Tony, yes, the elder Tony Gonzalez, win by at least 10 to 14 points.
And I just got a message from Blog Talk Radio to cancel the show and start it at 10. No way. If everybody can hear me out there, I'm getting messages. They can. We're going to keep rolling on this show. We are not canceling the show. We're going to keep going. Trey, how does that sound?
Wow, they want us to cancel the show?
Until 10 o'clock, and we're a feature tonight, and I just can't do it, man. I mean, we're going to keep rolling. We're not going to stop. But I like your Falcons pick, man. I really do. I think that you know, looking at it, I think you're exactly right about the defense of Kansas City. Look for Julio Jones, Trey, to go off in this game against Kansas City. I mean, this kid is a monster. And then you have Roddy White on top of that. Michael Turner, you know, he's going to be in for a big game, hopefully. So what do you think about Ryan going forward after this game? Is he going to be able to lead the Falcons to win the division now that the Saints are down?
I think so. I think this is probably the Falcons' year to probably push deep in the playoffs. I really like what they've done with the offense. I mean, this is an offense I think that it makes more sense to do exactly what they're doing, which is, you know, look at the strength in their passing game. I think you're going to see Turner get less carries. Obviously, he's the guy in the goal line, but I do think that, you know, they're going to go more pass happy this year, and it's going to be very successful.
Yep, I mean, that's a good one, man. That's a good game. You know, everybody here in Atlanta, you know, they think the Falcons can make the Super Bowl easily about midway through the season. They realize, whoops, you know, so this could be the year for them. What's game number three?
All right, game number three, Carmen. Do we have the chat room up, by the way?
Yeah, chat room's up.
Okay, I'm trying to get in there now. So Cincinnati at Baltimore. This is a lot of people have Cincinnati picked to win this division, Carmen. They are a playoff team from last year. A.J. Green and, you know, obviously their great young quarterback are in their second year. But it is Baltimore, an aging team, and this is in Baltimore, Tarvin. Can Cincy pull off a win on the road? This is also a Monday night football game.
Can they on the road Monday night? No. No. Baltimore is going to take care of business. Baltimore is ready to play, even though I don't have much faith in them. Trey, I need you to log in as the host. I've sent you all the information. Just log in as the host with the password because it's not letting me log in. But Monday Night Football, man, what a stage for the Bengals and Ravens. That's probably one of the best games of the weekend, you know, just that game alone. Good defense. I'm looking forward to that one. Probably like that's why it's in our top five, right? Baltimore is favored 6 points in this game. 6 points over Cincinnati. I think it's going to be somewhere around that. I'm looking at maybe like 24-17 Baltimore. I could see that score. And I think Baltimore is good enough early in the season. If you remember last year how good Baltimore played early in the season, I think they'll do the same and repeat. Instead of it being Cincinnati, it'll be Pittsburgh. Or Pittsburgh, it'll be Cincinnati this time.
Oh, wow. You know, this is a game that I think, Tarvin, that I could flip a coin. I mean, your gut tells you Baltimore at home. This is, you know, the Ravens are tough on D. It tells you to go Baltimore. You know, but Cincinnati is that young team. They got that vibe to them. I do agree that I think Baltimore will win this game. I don't know with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, you know, how smooth he's going to be translating into the offense the way Cedric Benson was. That could be an issue. I'm not sure that he's the kind of back that can handle the load yet. So, you know, I do have Baltimore winning this game. I think it's going to be a 7 point or fewer points, though, Darvin.
Yep. I mean, it's going to be a close one. And you know what, Trey? They always are in this division. You can guarantee one thing. It's going to be hard hitting, and the score is going to be very close. So, a great Monday night game. You know, this is not on our top five, but why do the Raiders get to start out on Monday night football every year for?
Well, you know, that's an interesting, you know, I thought about that game because there's sort of two Monday night football games and the Raiders have the other one. You know, the Raiders have a huge following, and it's one of the things that if you follow NFL and NFL message boards, the Raiders are always well represented. So, you know, one of the reasons, Tarvin, is they have a big fan base, and it's very, very active.
Yeah. It's, I mean, good Lord, I mean, but every Monday night I remember – that's all you see, man. And it didn't make our list. But, Trey, go ahead and give us another one.
Yeah, absolutely. That's number two on the list, Tarvin. I had San Francisco at Green Bay. Again, this is another matchup of two very successful programs last year. This was really, I mean, these two teams people thought last year would end up in the Super Bowl. Of course, the Giants got past them, but Tarvin, I mean, San Francisco, that huge, they had a lot of wins last year. Green Bay went 15 games last year. Both teams are coming in this year with Super Bowl expectations. Who gets off with a win week one?
I have to go with the Green Bay Packers, man, at home. It's just going to be hard. I know it's not winter time yet. It would be a big difference. But I just think Green Bay, this early in the season, has too much firepower. It takes a little while to get everybody going. San Francisco, I still don't have a lot of faith in Alex Smith. I think they're well coached. They have a great team, but it's early in the season. Trey, I'm going to have to go with the Pack.
Oh, wow. Yeah, me too. Hey, Tarvin, just looking at our message board, I can't get in either. It says that there's a problem. You're not connected. Please call in to the host.
I'm working on that right now.
I get the same thing, too.
Trey, keep talking, buddy, and I'm going to hang up and call this new number they gave me, so just keep talking, okay?
All right, man.
All right.
All right, so, folks, we really apologize for, the technical difficulties we are having tonight. Obviously, Blog Talk Radio is wanting us to cancel the episode and call back in later. We think that's a little bit of a hassle for our loyal fan base who's been so good to us, so we're going to try to press on. and ask that you obviously just bear with us as we struggle through the Blog Talk Radio issues.
We? What do you mean we? We is not us, Trey. No, it's not us struggling. So, yeah. You know, this is a feature show tonight, and there's some people in there trying. I've already got several messages trying to get in, but guys, I'm in now, logged in as the host, so we should be okay for a little while at least. Cross your fingers. We did not cancel, so stay with us, everybody. I mean, our chat room is not as active tonight because of that, but everybody stay with us and ask some questions. We're ready to go. What were you talking about?
Oh, no, I was just kind of giving the 411. We realized the chat room, the people, I can't get into the chat room myself and log in, so understand there are problems tonight. So, Tarvin, looking at that Green Bay-San Francisco game, I agree with you, Tarvin. I think Green Bay does win this game. San Francisco, obviously, a very good overall football team, but I mean, Green Bay is a very tough team to beat in Lambeau. So I like Green Bay by about 7 in this game.
Yeah, think about the chip on their shoulder, Trey, from last year. They got knocked out of the playoffs in bad fashion and embarrassed. So I think they're going to be ready to play this year. I don't know about their defense. That's the one question mark I have with them. And can they run the ball between the tackles? But we're going to see Aaron Rodgers put up another record season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, look for him to throw for I have some people I've looked at predictions, Tarvin, have him throwing for over 5,000 yards. With the receiving core they have, I mean, they got four guys who could easily probably be a 2 or even a 1 or 3 on a lot of teams, and their fifth receiver is that good. I mean, Jones is a guy who's very talented, and he's having to struggle to get into the 5 wide receiver set. So I like Green Bay in week 1. So, Tarvin, number 1 game, what could be better than Green Bay and San Francisco and Cincy and Baltimore? How about Pittsburgh traveling to Denver and Peyton Manning?
Wow. I mean, that's the game I'm going to be watching for sure, to see. There's a lot of questions will be answered in this game, Trey. How will Peyton Manning do his return? How will he do when he takes a big shot? Because, Pittsburgh loves to hit. And I think Denver wins this game in Peyton's return. And I think he's one touchdown pass away from, 400? For his career, is that right? So, he's gonna get it. His second drive in the game, Denver's gonna win by a field goal, and he's gonna be 1-0.
Wow, this is a tough one. Denver is a very popular pick for the Super Bowl because I think everyone thinks Peyton is back to Peyton. Watching them play, I really saw the offense starting to come together, Tarvin, in the Denver offense. A lot of people have overlooked a receiver that Denver has, who I think if you're a Peyton Manning guy and you've watched Peyton Manning through your career, this is the kind of receiver, and that receiver is Eric Decker. He is the kind of possession receiver that Manning loves because he's reliable on third down, Parvin, and he catches the football when you throw it to him. He's not going to have a lot of drop passes. Now, Thomas, the big play receiver, he's the guy who caught the 80-yard pass from Tim Tebow in the playoffs last year. He's the flash, and he's going to be the guy who Peyton looks to downfield. And we'll see if he's come along, Tarvin, with those deep balls he was having problems with in the preseason. But, I think that Denver wins this game super close, Tarvin. I would say this is one of those games that Denver wins because they have the ball in the last possession. I think Pittsburgh is going to – and don't forget that Von Miller for Denver is a phenomenal defensive player, and he's going to probably help neutralize the rushing attack from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who is honestly a big question mark because who's going to start at running back and how reliable are they going to be. So I look for Von Miller, that defense, to hold Pittsburgh down and Peyton Manning to win it in the fourth quarter.
Yep, one Manning brother will win this weekend, right?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, there's a lot more games, outside the top 5 of those. I want to see how Detroit responds at home against the Rams, how they start off the season. I want to see how Cam, Trey, goes on the road first game and does against Tampa. I think that's going to be a tough game for Carolina on the road. And I want to see how Tannehill does his first game against the Texans when they beat him by 40. So it's going to be a good week of football to see. And also RG3, Trey, on the road in New Orleans. Can he get a win there?
You know, I don't think RG3 wins in week one, Tyler. You know, even with all the Saints trouble in the offseason, I mean, Drew Brees is still the quarterback, and last I checked, he's playing. So I think that, you know, you're going to see struggles out of the Washington offense. You know, I just don't think they're going to be in tune yet. So I look for the Saints winning that game probably pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Saints by 7 or 10, somewhere around in there. It'll be Washington's defense is good, remember. So if RG3 can somehow have a good game, they can keep it close. I don't think they can win on the road, but I think they'll keep it close. But moving on to what most people want to hear, Trey, college football week 2. You know, week 1, like you said on the last show, was amazing. You know, it was really fun to watch. And it was just so much we learned about teams, but the biggest improvement is from week 1 to 2, Trey. So who's that team between week 1 and 2 that you see bouncing back and taking a new direction?
Well, you know, I think we're going to get to that team in our top 10 games. And, you know, not a homer, Tarver, not picking this game because, you know, I'm an Auburn guy, but I think Auburn bounces back, and they're on the road against Mississippi State. I've seen some analysts pick, you know, Mississippi State by 20 points, and I think that's not going to happen. I think Auburn, they're a young team. They're going to have their up and downs. I think that Auburn is a team that has the most improvement, and they play a solid game against Mississippi State.
Well, I mean, if an analyst told me Mississippi State's going to win by 20, I mean, it could happen. You know as well as I do, anything could. But tell me what other team besides Ole Miss in the West that he's beaten, Trey. Can you do that?
Well, that's the problem with Mississippi State is they play, and this is our number 6 game, Tarvin. We're a little ahead of ourselves. But
Here's the deal, Trey. Let's leave Auburn right quick, and let's go. So let's start at number 10, and we'll work our way up, okay? I don't want to get out of order.
All right, let's start with number 10. And number 10, I have Washington at LSU. And, Tarvin, I'm still having problems getting into the chat room. It won't let me log in.
That's okay.
So I can't.
I'm in here. Have you logged in as yourself?
I'm trying to. That's what I'm trying to do.
Try to do that. If not, I have the chat room. Right now it's kind of quiet or everybody's having problems. So everybody, top War Eagle, if you're good, and let me know. Especially
if you're
Go ahead.
So number 10, Darvin, there's a lot of interesting games this weekend because we still have the conferences going out of, you know, you have the SEC, you know, playing – at a conference, you have the Big Ten, all of these teams playing each other, which I think is, you know, I love as a football fan. So number 10, I picked Washington and LSU. You have the Pac-12 coming into the SEC country. Tarvin, does Washington have a shot at all against the number 3 team, LSU Tigers?
Zero, and I'll tell you why. They cannot stop. I watched Baylor and Washington play, and again, Baylor is a good offense, but I watched Washington last year in a bowl game. Couldn't even stop the run against Baylor. So what makes you think they're going to stop the run against an LSU team when that's all they do? So LSU's defense is going to gear out. I mean, they're going to pin their ears back and come after the Washington quarterback. This game gets ugly. LSU looked lethargic last week, and that's what they always do early on. But when they play somebody that could give them a challenge or maybe give them some motivation, I don't know if you heard Washington brought a live tiger to practice this week.
Well, you know, I have concerns in another regard for that, but I mean, I don't care what they brought to practice this week, Tarvin. They didn't bring a defense or a starting quarterback who's going to play very well against LSU. I think this is a 25-30 point win. They're going to win pretty easily.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I mean, it's going to be LSU will name their score the way they want to play. I don't think it'll be a Washington's going to try to make it an up and down, you know, game track neat, but by third quarter, they're going to say, let's just slow this ball down and get out of here alive. That's what they'll be saying in this game. Washington's just over, they're outmanned, Trey. So LSU big. Let's go to the next one.
I'm in the chat room now, Tarvin, and Jason Humphrey says LSU's not going to cover. They're not going to cover the spread. So, Chad Stevenson has them winning by 17, but they don't break the spread either. So, interesting. And speaking of spreads, Tarvin, I want to go off course just a little bit because this is something that I didn't have planned to talk about. Wasn't a big story for me. This is not a homer story because I'm a Florida State guy. But Florida State, Tarvin, this weekend has the largest spread in football history. The largest spread Vegas has ever given a team.
69 was the record, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was the Hawaii game from a couple years ago when they played Northern Colorado. They didn't cover. So, Tarvin, 70.5 points is the spread from Florida State and Savannah State. So, just real quick, Tarvin, what do you think about this spread? The guy who made the spread came out and said that he thought if FSU played their starters, they would score 100 points. I don't think FSU plays their starters even into the second quarter in this game. I think it's going to be 40 or 50-0 probably through the first quarter, early second quarter. They're going to pull all of their starters. So are they going to cover a 70.5 point spread, Tarvin?
Of course they will. And these players are going to get excited by seeing that. And here's the deal with games like this. It's like Alabama, for instance, and I'll get off them a little bit. Alabama, when they're favored 42 points over somebody, people say, well, Alabama's going to get up and rest their starters. The problem is Alabama's backups are better than most team starters. So you get these second and third string people in here going and blowing the other team out because they're so outmanned. Well, Florida State's the same way. They built depth over the years. They have talent. So their third and fourth team trade is going to be better than the starters for the other team. So it's going to be 70 by halftime probably if they want it to be.
Well, I think what happens with this game, Tarvin, and I almost am going to go put in some money on Savannah State. I don't think Florida State covers. Jimbo Fisher has said this week, because I think somebody asked him this question, he said no one wants to see a team get beat by 80. And, you know, obviously he was going over the 70.5, but I think they're going to put the brakes way on in this game in the second half. Now, granted, you can't control if your guy breaks out and Savannah State doesn't tackle anybody, then that's not going to be controllable. But I think Jimbo Fisher is going to try to put the brakes on, blowing them out. You know, I think you're probably going to see a 65, maybe 70, but, you know, getting to that 71, Jimbo Fisher may not try to get that spread beat.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see 100 points put on, but I also think I don't even know. Is there really a line that big? Can you bet on that game right now? You can give 70-something points.
70.5. Well, you can bet on it all day long in Vegas.
Yeah. That is a lie. But, you know, games like this shouldn't even count towards your bowl eligibility in a way. They shouldn't even be played. If you're 70, you shouldn't be playing teams like that. But this is where injuries happen, Trey.
Yeah.
In football. If you notice these teams like this, when, you know, you'll see some of the best athletes get hurt when they're playing these nobodies. I think they put their guard up a little bit, you know, and they don't really think what's going on and protect themselves. So, you know, you're not playing a great team, that's when you get hurt. So Jimbo Fisher, that's a hard one to predict, Trey. I mean, I think they're going to cover, but I could also see them winning 33-0 or something, you know, just playing around with them. So it's going to be interesting. So in the chat room, let us know what you think. And also our call-in number, we're going tonight, 646-716-5564. Call in, let us know what you think. What was that, Trey?
No, I was going to say, you know, Tarvin, the injury aspect of this game, you're 100% right. I think it's why Jimbo Fisher is going to have EJ Manuel and the starters out early. You know, the fact that we just lost a huge defensive end in last game playing Murray State will affect. I think you're going to see there's two defensive ends who we're going to redshirt, Tarvin, who are 5- and 4-star guys, Chris Casher, and they're going to play in this game, and they're probably going to play the entire second half. And I think it's the injury bug. I think Fisher's scared of it. It was what killed the team last year. So I think you're going to see probably a third string. You're probably going to see everybody who's not redshirted play in this game. And remember, Tarvin, the only reason they're actually playing this game is because West Virginia went to the Big 12 and had to buy their way out of the game. So this is supposed to be Florida State, West Virginia, which would be in our number one game of the week had that actually happened.
Yeah, I don't like games like this, man, because there's too much to lose, because you can't win this game if you're Florida State and actually do anything. Everybody's going to expect you to win and win big. So on to the next one, Trey.
All right, Tarvin, this is a game that's interesting because, you know, you usually see these in-state awards at the end of the year, but you have Iowa at Iowa State. This is a huge rivalry game for, you know, what is, you know, the Big 12, obviously, and the Big 10 with Iowa State. Iowa State has been a team that's kind of, you know, been able to win a couple of games they shouldn't have in recent history, where Kirk Ferentz in Iowa has been a team that he really hasn't put much together recently, Tarvin. So can Iowa State at home, can the Cyclones beat Big Bad Iowa?
This game's always weird, Trey. I mean, early in the season they play two rivals. I think this year, no. I think Iowa's going to pull this out by a field goal or a touchdown somewhere around in there. It's going to be a good game, as always, but Iowa State is Iowa State.
You know, Tarvin, this is where I'm going to pull the not-so-fast on you. And right now, it looks like Chad Stevenson says Iowa. Chris Melia says, I want Iowa State to win because they helped Bama get to the BCS National Championship last year, but Iowa wins. Iowa State, I think, wins this game, Tarvin. They have a couple of guys who are really good playmakers. And this is, I think, the year that Iowa doesn't have the stable of, you know, big offensive line and defensive linemen who can sort of beat Iowa State up. I think that a couple of big plays gets Iowa State a victory in this game. But this is going to be you're right, this game's always crazy. It's always a fun one to watch. If you're a college football fan and you see this game on, I'd probably watch it. It's going to be a fun one. But I think the Cyclones get it done this year.
Okay. Let's go to the next one.
And Dustin Porterfield says Cyclones get them this year as well. So I got a little backup in the chat room. All right, Tarvin. So number 8, Michigan. They're at home, Tarvin. They're licking their wounds. They've been blown up on Twitter this week by their rival Spartans, you know, calling Denard Robinson soft, saying, why is this guy playing quarterback? And here comes the Air Force Academy. And they're a running attack, Tarvin. So can the Air Force Academy just send Michigan reeling?
No. This game's for pride now. I mean, Michigan wants to show people that maybe Alabama was a fluke, but everybody knows it wasn't. But they're going to want to try to, you know, gain some respect and get it back. I think Michigan wins this game and wins it big.
You know, Jason Humphrey on the chat room says upset alert on this game, so that's interesting. You know, I've actually seen a lot of people pick upset alert, but no one's actually picking Air Force to win, so that I've seen at least, Tarvin, which is always interesting if you say, well, this game could be an upset, I'm just not picking it. I'm not picking an upset in this game at all. I think this is a game where Hoke tries to send a message to the Michigan faithful and all those doubting. I think, actually, they probably try to score late in the game even more, even though they're going to be up. I think that this game, Tarvin, we're looking at like a 38-14 game, maybe 38-20. Michigan wins. I think they're going to try to score late in the game to get it even further apart because they want to show the pollsters and everyone else that, you know, the Michigan game, they're back and, this, you know, they're not going to get blown out again.
Well, I just wonder how they're going to, you know, how their mindset's going to be, because, I mean, you could tell during the Alabama game, once I went back and watched it more, they were so intimidated by Alabama, and they worked all year to get to that point to play them. And to get humiliated like that, and just think about the beating they took physically on some of these players. So how do they respond? I mean, it's a tough game. So I see why people are saying they're calling for the upset alert, but I'm with you, Trey. I think it's going to be a pretty big win for Michigan because it's going to be a statement game coming off that embarrassing loss. So Michigan's known to choke at home, though, but I just don't see it this time.
Yeah, and Michigan lost a cornerback during the Alabama game for the season, I think with an ACL tear. So, I mean, they do have a couple of injuries that came out. They did get beat up in the Alabama game, and a couple of guys are out. So, but, you know, Air Force is not a team that can really pass the ball, so I don't know that missing a cornerback will affect them until they play, like, Ohio State and Michigan State. But so, number 7, Tarvin, this is a game that you've been really hot on, and so we're going to nail you down on what you actually predict. The Bulldogs of Georgia, they struggled last week, Tarvin. And they're going on the road to Missouri, their first SEC game.
Ooh.
What do you have here?
Upset alert. Missouri, night game, first SEC game. Georgia, offensive line questions, defensive suspension. It's a perfect recipe for that upset. I'm going with Missouri in this game, Trey.
Oh, wow. I'm interested to see what the message board says about you now, Tarvin. So Chad Stevens says he's on hold, Tarvin. He says the Bulldogs are going to win by 3, so you want to get him on?
I'm going to get him on for Auburn. He's coming on for the Auburn call
okay.
just a minute.
All right, so Tarvin, I'm going to go against you as well. It looks like you and I are on the same page today. I know a lot of people are actually picking Missouri to win this game. I just see Georgia having too many playmakers on offense. I think that this is going to be probably a hostile crowd. I mean, I think that Missouri is ready for this game. I think they've been, touting it. This is a big game for them. If they were to win their first SEC game against the, SEC powerhouse like Georgia, old SEC big team, it would be a huge statement for Missouri coming into the conference. But I think Georgia wins this game, Tarvin, and I'm going to say by about 6.
Okay. Smelly said in the chat room that I picked Missouri because Georgia's an arch rival, and that's funny. But no, the reason I picked Missouri is it's a night game, and Georgia tends to play bad early in the season. If you watched them last week, they look terrible, in my opinion, but they are good. Georgia's a great football team, but how are they going to play on the road with an offensive line that's young and some defensive suspensions? Fully loaded, Georgia's one of the best teams in the country, but they're not going to have everyone. And I don't know, it's just early in the season. So I'm just going to go with it. It's not out of hate for Georgia, because I don't hate Georgia at all. So.
Absolutely. I mean, Tarvin, you're not on your island. I mean, I spent this week looking at what a lot of experts, have been picking in these games. And, this is a game that, you got to look at the fact that Georgia's been an under 500 team the past two seasons away, from their home stadium. So, it's not outside the realm of possibility to think Georgia loses this game. So, I mean, because they have played very poorly on the road the last two seasons. So, I don't think you're out there that far, Tarvin, on this one.
Okay, good.
So, now we're to your Euro game, Tarvin. This was the game Auburn at Mississippi State. Auburn's going on the road, SEC country, West opponent, big game for them. I'll tell you my pick first, since this is your home team. I do think I watched the Auburn game last week, because it was a phenomenal game to watch. I think that this is the game where Kyle Frazier plays a lot better. He's not going to be, rattled on the road against Mississippi State. I mean, it's not like Mississippi State has a huge stadium with, it's not an intense place to play. So I like Frazier winning this game, Tarvin. I think he's going to put up pretty good numbers. I think that you're going to go back to what you saw work against Clemson, which is a really good rushing attack. I think your linebacking cores are going to improve. I think you're still going to give up points in this game. I think this game is going to be relatively high scoring, Tarvin. You're probably going to have like a 38-31 type of game. But I do like the Tigers winning this game on the road.
Well, this is going to be a tough challenge for Auburn going on the road, morning game to Starkville. I like it a lot better because it's a morning game and not a night game on the road. That's one advantage Auburn has, I think. The one thing that I worry about if I'm an Auburn person is the running game last week of Clemson, the way they ran on Auburn. Mississippi State runs the ball very well, Trey, and that's all they do. And I'm worried about how the linebackers of Auburn are going to play and how the defense is going to tackle. That's what I'm concerned about. We do have our center, Reese Dismutes, back this weekend. That's going to help us. Jay Prosh, our fullback's mom, died. I was going to say something about that. An hour before he went on the field, he found out his mom went into a coma, and then she died a day later. So Jay Prosh will be playing, after burying his mom tomorrow in the game Saturday. So look for Auburn to get a little inspiration from that and play hard and pull out a tough win on the road. So I'm going to bring Chad on, Trey. I'm going to bring Chad on, and he's going to give us what he thinks about this game. Chad's an Auburn fan, so you're on Way In Sports, Chad.
Hey, how y'all doing out there?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. I know you was at the Clemson-Auburn game as well as I was, man. Saw some good things, and I saw some bad things. I'm not going to weigh in on the Clemson game. I missed last week's episode. My apologies. I was at my brother's house. He didn't have internet at his house in Atlanta. So, but coming up, man, I think Auburn wins the game. I don't think we're going to blow them out or nothing. I think it's going to be about a maybe 10-point win for the Tigers. Actually, Mississippi State's defensive line is actually more veteran, and I think, in my opinion, better than the Clemson defensive line. That's the only thing that scares me. So offensive line's got to step up, and I think we need to pound the ball with Josh and Trey Mason up the middle and just try to wear them down. And they're going to force us to throw. I expect them to put about 8 or 9 in the box to start off. So Kyle Frazier is going to have to prove himself as a quarterback on Saturday. That's all there is to it. And as far as our defense goes, I think they're veteran enough to – I think their quarterback, Mississippi State quarterback, is like 6'5", 230, correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't think he's a good scrambler, so I think if we maneuver deep forward and them get pressure on him, he's going to get rattled. I mean, we had great pressure against Tarz Boyd at the beginning of the game. That just kind of fell off. But overall, I think our defense does well against Mississippi State. They do have a good running attack, but, I mean, they lost Big Salad, which hurt them very bad. So I don't – they ran the ball good against what a Division II school, so – I don't think they're going to have that good running the ball against Auburn. So we'll see, though, man. I'll hear y'all's thoughts on it. And I think we'll win by about 10 points in Starkville. But appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, Chad. Thanks for calling. Keep listening, man. That's a good breakdown. And the thing about these games, Trey, I don't think people know the history of Dan Mullen and Gene Chizik so far. I mean, these two guys behind closed doors, they hate each other, Trey. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Gene Chizik hates Dan Mullen. I hate Dan Mullen just because of some of the bull crap he's done. Chizik will win this game just for that reason alone, man.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is interesting is Mississippi State Tigers is a 3-point favorite. So, you know, this is technically an upset, and I don't think it's technically an upset. I think, you know, Mississippi State is probably rightfully a favorite in this game. I just, you know, granted, you know, I didn't watch any of the Mississippi State game last week. I just looked at sort of the stats and everything. But I just, you know, I think Auburn played a much better opponent last week, and I think that really prepared them to go into games like this, Tarvin.
Yeah, and, you know, you play somebody good week one, you're going to find out where you are weak, where you are strong. Mississippi State, they still don't know, kind of like last year. You know, Mississippi State never starts out with anybody tough. So you're right, I think it will benefit them. But, hey, this is a losable game for Auburn, Trey. Very losable. I mean, it's you go on the road, and it's going to be a tough environment. And Mississippi State's going to be a good team this year. They're not going to be like they were last year. I think they're going to surprise some people. So Auburn's going to have to play their – best game of the year. If they play like they did last week, they will not win.
And just one of the message boards that I thought was kind of funny, Tarvin. Kristen Lewis says, I hate Auburn, and I'm even picking them to upset State. So there you go.
And Dustin says, Gene the checkbook Chizik. That's a good one. So what's the next game?
All right, Tarvin. Number 5. This is the Big Ten going on the road out west to the Pac-12, Nebraska. And I don't know if our Nebraska guy is online, but I'd love to hear what he has to say about this game. Nebraska at UCLA, Tarvin.
Well, I mean, Nebraska, I think, is going to have a good year this year, and they looked good the other day against Southern Miss. I just look at UCLA, and I just don't see a physical team, really, and a team with as much talent as Blair said the last time he was on, talking about UCLA was loaded with talent. So I'm going to say Nebraska in this game by 10 points on the road.
Yeah, and Jason Humphrey says UCLA gets the upset. You know, Taylor Martinez played a very different game than he played last year. And again, you know, against, you know, not a two, you know, you're not talking about an FCS school that Nebraska played last week. We're talking about, you know, they played a division, you know, a FBS school. I think that helped them tune themselves up to get out to UCLA. I don't agree with Blair that UCLA is loaded with talent. I think that UCLA has some very good talent, Tarvin. There's no doubt about it. They got some guys who are going to be in the NFL, but they don't have enough guys. And I think you have a quarterback who's played as much as Taylor Martinez. Nebraska's ready to just sort of take this game on. I think Nebraska wins this game, Tarvin, and I don't know that it's going to be that close. And, you know, this is one of those games that, Tarvin, the Pac-12 needs to start winning if they want to be considered a conference that's any good outside of Oregon and USC. So they need to win this game, but I think the Big Ten goes in there, and I think Nebraska shows them what's up, Tarvin. I think it's going to be a 14-point game at least.
Yeah, I do too. And you're right about the Pac-12. No offense to any Pac-12 fans out there, but really you have two teams, and the third one I would put up there is actually Utah. I think Utah's better than what people think, and they get to play tomorrow night. So, yeah, they have to start winning these kind of games to get respect again, and that's well said, Trey. What's the next
one? Well, there's a lot of games, and actually that if you're talking about the Pac-12, Tarvin, that we have several of these games on our list, but, you know, the Pac-12, you know, Washington and LSU, you get – the Pac-12 has a chance to make several statements, and I saw one analyst write about this. There's like four games, and the Pac-12 is going, it is hosting either hosting a game or going on the road against an out-of-conference big-time opponent. And if they don't win any of these games, and we're going to start talking about the Pac-12 being a very lighter conference. So, you know, because they can't win any games outside of conference. So we'll see, Tarvin. I saw one analyst that said they're going to win one of these four games. So. We'll see which one it is, if at all. I just don't see it. Next, Tarvin, we have our fourth game leading our way up to number one. I got Penn State at UVA. Good out of conference, big, you know, two well-known schools, Tarvin. Penn State loses week one at home. You know, with all the ESPN fanfare touting Penn State and their, you know, rallies and all this kind of stuff. You know, quietly, Tarvin, quietly. UVA has been improving, but can UVA hold their home turf against a Penn State team come in?
Guys, Penn State is very bad this year, and, you know, perception is, you know, Penn State, I think they're a 10-point underdog on the road to Virginia. Virginia's gotten a lot better over the seasons. I got to see them in the Chick-fil-A Bowl last year against Auburn. Those guys are big, and they run the football well. They have a good quarterback. Penn State, you lose at home to Ohio, there's no way you're going into Virginia winning this game. Virginia, huge in this game.
Wow, Tarvin. And let me take one step back, Tarvin. Somebody in the message room said, or message board said that UCLA looked good against Rice, and I meant to point this out. Rice rushed like 175 yards against UCLA. And guess who runs the ball well? Nebraska. That's why I'm Nebraska big. I meant to mention that earlier.
Yeah.
So I actually think Rice game shows a big weakness for UCLA. And that's I mean, if Rice rushes for 175 yards, that's going to be a problem for the UCLA. So looking at the UVA game, Tarvin, I think UVA does win this game. You're right. They have been improving. They've gotten a lot bigger on the line. You know, and Penn State is going to be a little defeated coming into this game. And I don't know, you know, how much focus these players are able to do. And they're having to see all these questions in the off season about the Sandusky scandal. And they come in week one and they get upset at home. And so you got to wonder, you know, what this program is teetering on, because if they lose, they start off the season 0-2, which I predict they will, Tarvin. I think UVA wins this game by 10. I think that, you know, Happy Valley is going to be really reeling, because this could be a very awful season, and it doesn't look like it's going to improve with all the sanctions. So, Tarvin, what's the message board got?
Virginia, nobody's really picking it looks like. So I'm sure everybody's picking Virginia. So, honestly, Penn State, all that momentum or emotion last week in that game, do you think they lost because mainly emotion, Trey, or just because they're not talented?
Well, I think they may have looked past Ohio because of all the off-the-field stuff. And, you know, they were, to be honest, probably just trying to come together to even play the game of football with just the constant barrage of off-the-field questions. I mean, if anybody has played any kind of organized sports, Tarvin, you can't help but get affected by off-the-field stuff. I mean, you can't focus if you're constantly getting questions about that kind of stuff. I mean, we all have personal stories if we played organized sports in any kind of level that kind of situation affects you. I think it's still going to affect them, Tarvin. I think they got hit really hard by a pretty good Ohio team and won 10 games last year. So UVA, again, another team that's been improving, and I think that, you know, Penn State's on the downslope, UVA is on the upslope.
Yep, I agree totally. What's the next one?
It looks like Dustin Porterfield says UVA destroys Penn State, so.
Well, Smelly says Auburn loses right now. Just a minute ago, he says Auburn wins. Chris, which one is it, man?
He's flip-flopping.
All right, what you got right now?
Number three, Tarvin, this is a very interesting game. Miami won when a lot of people last week picked them to lose to Boston College. But now they're going on the road against a surprising Big 12 team, Kansas State. Are the Canes really improving? I mean, they've had all these suspensions off the field. They've had some big injuries. Well, now they're going on the road against a Kansas State team who's ranked. And by the way, Kansas State's favorite in this game. So, Tarvin, what do you make of the Hurricanes right now? And what happens down there in Kansas State territory?
Well, last year, I believe this game, shocked a lot of people, myself included. Kansas State went into Miami and won this game, and it was a very high-scoring game. It's a tough one. I think Miami's going to be struggle to go on the road. It's going to be a hostile environment. Snyder's got that team going good. Kansas State, they can throw, run. I look for them to improve trying to throw the ball on Miami. They're not just going to be able to run on Miami. I look for Kansas State to get through this game by a touchdown.
Yeah, Kansas State's quarterback, I think his name is Klein. I watched some tape of this guy, Tarvin, and he looks good. He looks really good. And, this is the kind of game that it seems like sort of makes Kansas State their season. Like, this is the kind of game, if they win, they could really go on a roll. They seem to get real confidence out of wins like this. I think that Kansas State wins. Chris Miller said Kansas State favored by that he shows them winning and covering. I agree, Tarvin. I think that Kansas State wins this game and covers the spread.
Yep, that's a good pick, man.
So, Tarvin, let me ask you this. Do you give any kind of – is Michigan – does Kansas State, is this going to be a teetering game for them? Are they going to be able to go on a roll after this?
I think it's a big game. I think in the Big 12, but they can get on a roll like they did last year, but – I don't know. I mean, Kansas State's going to be no better than a 9-win team this year if they even can do that. So it's a very important game for them to win against an ACC team.
Yeah, and this is one of those games that people are, if the ACC wants to be considered a little more legitimate, Tarvin, they got to win.
Yeah, Dustin Porterfield says Miami wins this one. A very average Texas team was a couple points away from beating them last year. Miami upset. So I can see Miami going there winning. I mean, it's Miami, Central Henderson's back on the offensive line for Miami. He's a beast. And, they have some running backs. The linebackers are good. Miami has talent on the team. But can they go on the road and win? I don't think so this week. But we'll see. What's our next game on the list?
Yeah, number two, Tarvin, this is another one of those, going on the road, Big Ten, going against Oregon State, Wisconsin. At Oregon State, Tarvin, you have a Pac-12, another team from the Pac-12 who has a shot to beat someone they're not favored again, but they're at home. So how does Oregon State do against the ball and that rushing attack for Wisconsin?
Well, I think Oregon State's going to have a lot of trouble stopping the run, and I think that's what exactly Wisconsin's going to do. I think Wisconsin has a lot of questions on this team, especially at the quarterback position. When they play good teams, they're going to struggle. Wisconsin showed last week they're not that strong, but I think they are strong enough to run on a Pac-12 defense in Oregon State. So I think Wisconsin wins this game probably 31-17, maybe.
Wow, 31. I think you're close, Tarvin. Chris Miller says Wisconsin's favored by 7, and again, he says they win and they blow out the cover. He says cover out of the water. Birdman, 87, I think that's Cord Bird, has them winning by 3. Tarvin, this is, Wisconsin was not impressive last week, for sure. Oregon State, though, Tarvin, is not a good team. They're not a quality team. I don't even know if they're going to make a bowl this year. So I think that this is the game where Ball comes out and probably has 150 to 200 yards rushing. I think that he's going to just destroy them this week. I think that Oregon State loses this game by 20, Tarvin.
Good prediction. I think you're right. They run the ball all over them, and that's all they're going to do is run and hit some play-action passes. So it's going to be a big win for Wisconsin. But again, like you said, it's a good opportunity for the Pac-12 to gain some respect. If they beat Wisconsin this weekend, I mean, it's just another point for the Pac-12 here, so.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, one of those games that if you're the Pac-12, you got to win one of these games. I mean, you got to, if your conference is going to be legitimate, one of these teams has to be able to beat somebody who, and right now, it looks like they're just going to get steamrolled in one of these games, Carvin.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
And Jason Humphrey says he doesn't know how, but Oregon State always plays good at home against good teams. So, like I said, Tarvin, you know, if they were to pull an upset, this is going to be a statement game for the Pac-12.
So what's our next game? Well, is it number two or one?
We're up to number one, Tarvin. And the reason we ranked it the way we did in this game is this is where game day is going to be, college game day. Again, this is where Texas A&M is hosting their first game, not only of the season, Tarvin, but of the SEC. And you have SEC powerhouse Florida, the Florida Gators, coming to town in College Station. I mean, in Texas A&M, Tarvin, they've been cocky. They put up a billboard in Austin, I think, that said this is now SEC country. You had their head coach making all these comments about how Texas was in Texas A&M's shadow. That's a lot of talking, Tarvin. And they put up a billboard in Gainesville, too, and said that something about this is Aggieland. So that's a lot of talking, Tarvin, when they haven't even played a game yet, and they haven't beaten a single SEC team. So what happens with Florida and Texas A&M?
Well, I mean, this is obviously the toughest pick of the week. And looking at Florida last week, did they struggle because they're just bad? Or did they struggle because they're trying not to show anything? Texas A&M, remember, did not get to play week one.
Yeah.
They were moved with a hurricane. So, first of all, Trey, how much will that impact Texas A&M? Will it be positive or negative?
I think it's going to be huge negative, Tarvin. There's one of the things that you can say about a lot of these teams like Wisconsin and Florida who struggled in week one. They played, obviously they didn't play a great team, but they were able to work out a lot of kinks and have new players at big positions actually improve and gain speed, play, game opponents. I think that's going to be a huge difference for Texas A&M in this game, is they're going to be, they're going to have that first game struggles, and against a team as fast as Florida, I worry about that, Darwin.
Yeah, I'm going with Texas A&M in this game for one reason alone. They're at home. I think it's going to be a big game, like you said, the anticipation, the first SEC game they're hosting. I think the crowd will be a little too much. I think Florida named Driscoll as their quarterback. I think he'll do a decent job, but on the road, I just don't know. I don't have faith in Muschamp, Trey. I'm going with Texas A&M to win this game by a field goal.
And, Tarvin, that's a popular pick as well. A lot of people are looking at Texas A&M and the Aggies, and they're saying they're going to win this game close. And they're saying, Johnny Manziel and a couple of the big backs and the big O-line for the Aggies are going to rise up and really, sort of punish the Gators' line. I'm going the other way on this game, Tarvin. I find it that Florida – and their offense, they needed to work out things in week one. They needed to – they had a whole quarterback thing they couldn't figure out in week one. It looks like they may have figured it out by the second half if you watch some of that game. And the Aggies, I'm not sold on their quarterback. I'm not sold on the fact that they're fast enough to actually contain some of their playmakers, like their on Florida's offensive, some of their scat backs and some of their – receivers who play the slot. I like that speed they have. I like the fact that they worked out some of their stuff in week one. I think Florida wins this game, Tarvin, but this is one of those ones, and I think the key to the game is this. Which team turns the ball over more is probably going to lose this game. I don't think either one of these teams are good enough to overcome turning the ball more than the other team. And I think that you're going to see probably some sloppy play from A&M. I think that's going to be the difference. I think Florida wins by a field goal.
Wow, it's going to be an interesting week, Trey. I think one of us might have some big bragging rights this Sunday coming up because we are different on a lot of games. So I hope you're making notes of which games I picked and you picked, and out there make notes and we'll compare them. We're not trying to go against each other. We're just being honest here. So that's all the games that we have on the list, but that's not all that there are, Trey. Vanderbilt this weekend is going on the road to Northwestern in Big Ten country. This is a big game. Big Ten versus SEC. Who wins?
I think Vandy wins. I was impressed last week with Vandy, and you know, I know Northwestern had a shootout of a game that they won, but you know, again, Vandy played a tougher opponent. I think they had a lot of things to build off of. I don't think this game ends up being that close, to be honest with you, Carvin. I think it's going to be probably Vandy by 10.
Okay. I think Vanderbilt will win this game pretty good. Northwestern had a big emotional game last week. Got up big, and then Syracuse came back and almost won the game. I think it's negative. Vanderbilt has that extra 2 days to prepare since they had the Thursday night game. I think Vanderbilt by a touchdown. Good pick. All right, the next game, Clemson at home, favored 27.5 over Ball State. You know, emotional win over Auburn, a tough game. Do they cover or not cover? We know who's going to win. Do they cover the spread or not, Trey?
I don't think they covered the spread. I think that you play a big game like Clemson did in week one. They have week, they have their, Florida State coming up in a couple of weeks. I think they're going to probably pull off a little bit, make sure their starters aren't going to get hurt, and they'll probably win, but not by the spread.
Wow. And Houston is underdog 3.5 points at home to Louisiana Tech. This a week after losing at home. Who was it? Texas State, and the offensive coordinator for Houston quit right after the game. So how does this game turn out?
Who knows what Houston's got going on. They went from being 37.5 point favorites down by 3 just a week later. So hard to pick with Houston right now. It looks like they're going to have some internal struggles. So, I'll go against Houston.
Okay. I'm gonna go against Houston as well. I mean, a lot of turmoil. In the SEC game, Ole Miss is at home, favored 7.5 over UTEP. UTEP played great last week against Oklahoma to keep the game close. My first question is, how is Ole Miss favored over anyone? Second of all, 7.5 points, Trey.
Yeah, you know, UTEP may actually surprise the Ole Miss Rebels in this game. UTEP's actually a little more talented, I think, than everybody realizes. They gave Oklahoma all they wanted last week. So I think UTEP may actually win this game.
I think it's possible. I think you better watch out for Mike Price. Yeah, he'll fake punt it on his own 10. Oregon's at home, favored 35 over Fresno State. Who do you like?
35 is a lot to cover. Fresno State's not exactly in, they're not that talented this year, but 35. Oregon pulled off the gas last week pretty early, so it's kind of hard to see if they're going to pull off the gas early in this game, too. So I don't know if they'll cover, Tarvin. It'll be close. But I think we'll probably get our starters pulled in that game as well. So I think Oregon's going to blow them out, but I don't know if they cover.
Trey, I'm going to go to the phone line real quick. You're on Way In Sports, 213 area code. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Brian, how you doing, buddy? This is Cuervo. How are you?
Good. How's it going, Cuervo?
I'm doing all right, man. Just driving home from work. I knew you were having your show tonight because you had to move it over. I saw the message, so figured I'd call in and just say hello.
Well, hello, man. Are you ready for a big football weekend?
Oh, I'm always ready, Brian. You know that. I'm ready for college, the NFL. I do it all, man.
Trey Cuervo is a co-host with Sonny on the Couch Potato.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Cuervo, what's your big game this weekend? What are you most excited to see?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, you know what? Honestly, I got to take a look at the schedule again. I mean, because I really don't know all the games yet. I know, isn't this the week that Georgia and South Carolina play each other? They always play, like, second, maybe third week every year.
Georgia's at Missouri this weekend. They moved that game to later in the year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did see that. Like I said, I mean, I'm not really. I got to take a quick look at the college football schedule because I really don't know what all the games are yet. So,
so
imagine so there's some good games.
So Cuervo, you're a Tennessee Vol fan, I know. So give me a prediction on the Florida-Texas A&M game real quick, in Texas A&M.
I mean, as much as I would love to, call an upset on that one, I just don't see that happening. I mean, A&M, this is their first year with the SEC, so I think it's going to be close. And I think what keeps it close, and for me, one thing I love to look at when it comes to college football is the emotion, because there's so much emotion involved with college football compared to the NFL. When it comes to the NFL, you really can't put emotion into the factor of how a game's going to come out. So I look at the emotional things as far as college football is concerned. Texas A&M is the home team from what it sounds like. So I think it's going to be a close game. I think A&M with the 12th man, they keep it close. But the speed of the SEC, the speed of Florida, I think is going to be a little too much for A&M. I say Florida, I don't know what the line is, but I would probably take the points instead of give them.
I think Texas A&M is like a one-point favorite, like a toss-up. But you guys are almost making me change my prediction on this game after hearing Cuervo and Trey here. They lost a lot, Texas A&M did. And I'm wondering how you're going to replace Tannehill, but I still, like you said, Cuervo, the emotional part of it, I think being at home will be enough to get them past Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and that's something I didn't even think about until you brought it up, the fact that they lost their quarterback. So, you know, they probably have, I don't know, I'm sure there's a sophomore or junior that's going to be starting now. Going up against a SEC defense, and it's not a cupcake defense either. You say what you want about the Florida Gators. Yeah, I mean, they're not top five like they normally are. However, they're still the Florida Gators. I mean, Will Muschamp is doing, I think, a decent job down there as far as keeping the program together. So, I don't know. I think Florida's going to win, but it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, what about Georgia-Missouri real quick? Georgia's on the road in Missouri, favored 2 points. It's a night game, Missouri's first game, welcoming Georgia to the SEC. Georgia's welcoming them to the SEC.
Exactly. And this is going to be, I think, a similar game. I know Missouri, this is their first year as well. So, you're going to see in both games, in my opinion, just a great example of the difference between, the Big 12 and the SEC, and it's not a knock on those teams. A&M and Missouri are they're good football teams. They have good programs. However, when you go from the Big 12 to the big boys in the SEC, it's a little tougher. It's going to take a while to adjust. So I think you're going to see the same thing. I think Georgia actually will win a little more convincing than Florida will. But I think SEC will Georgia and Florida, they'll win both of their games respectively.
Yeah, and just to talk about a minute about your Tennessee Volunteers last week when they played NC State. Tennessee looked good, Cuervo. I have to put people on alert. Tennessee could make some big noise in the East this year. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh yeah, I was surprised yet impressed with the way Tennessee played. Obviously the whole thing with Derek Rogers happened. He's no longer on the team. But then they have Patterson come in, and he makes you forget about Rogers, at least for one game. I think he scored 2 touchdowns in that game. So for one night, he makes you forget about what Rogers brought to Tennessee, at least for one season. And I like where Coach Dooley is where he has Tennessee going. And it didn't dawn on me when Derek Dooley first got hired. I kind of did a little history on him, and I had no clue that his father was such a big name in the SEC when he was coaching Georgia back in the 80s. He was actually Herschel Walker's head coach at Georgia, so I didn't even know that. And it shocked me when I found that out. So I was like, okay, well, I mean, he's got a good background, he's got a good history in the family, but I mean, that doesn't always mean that he's going to be good. But like I said, I mean, I like the direction they're going. I think they play Georgia Southern this weekend, so you know, hopefully for Tennessee, this isn't a game where they're looking past them and just looking forward to the Florida game, which will be on the 15th next Saturday.
Yeah, and I talked to my father-in-law, Bruce. He's a big Tennessee fan, and he thinks Tennessee's going to run the ball a lot against Georgia, you know, on Georgia State to work on that run game. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they have to remember to keep that balance. I mean, you know, you like what you saw out of Tyler Bray the first game, you know, and it looks like he's got good timing with the receivers, things like that. But you can't just you know, forget about the running game. So, and that's what Tennessee has gone to, you know, the past few years. And they've had guys like you know, Arian Foster and whatnot in the past. I mean, you just can't forget about you know, the run game. So. I think it's going to be a little more balanced. I mean, they're going to run the ball, but I think they're going to let Bray show what he's made of too. So I think it's going to be a well-balanced offense this year for the ball.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to be good. Trey, any questions for Cuervo?
No, you're talking about the NFL. What's your big game this weekend you're going to be watching?
Oh, gosh. I mean, week one in the NFL, every game for me is big. No, honestly, I mean, you got the obvious Green Bay San Francisco game, you know, the Steelers and the Broncos on Sunday night. One game I'm going to keep a close eye on, though. I want to see how the Jets look in Week One, and we all see how they look in the preseason. If you're a Jets fan, you know, you just want to wear a paper bag on your head in reality. But you know, I think. You know, say what you want about the Buffalo Bills. It's a good test for them in Week One. What kind of offense are they going to have? Because I'll tell you what, Buffalo is a good defense that nobody's talking about, guys. You know, they add Mario Williams. The secondaries, you know, they're solid secondary. So I think this is going to be a good test for the New York Jets and for the Bills too. You know, just to see where they match up in the AFC East. I mean, we all know the Patriots are going to win that division, but if there's going to be a wild card that comes out of that division, which one is it going to be? Is it going to be the Bills or is it going to be the Jets? First game of the season, I think, you know, the winner of that game sets the tone for their season.
Yep. Good point. I totally agree. And Cuervo, man, I look forward to talking to you Saturday morning, and we're going to be on Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. You should join us.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Saturday morning, I've been keeping in touch with the scorekeeper over there with Sports Talk with the guys. I'm trying to start a show on Saturday mornings, right after Sports Talk with the guys is done. And you know, I hope everybody has the opportunity to listen in. You know, I'm just gonna, you know, break down all the different college games. I'm going to get set up on who's playing who this weekend and just, you know, give my thoughts. I mean, you know, whoever can call it, hey, the more opinions, the better. So definitely, I'll definitely keep everybody updated on that as far as, you know, having a college show is concerned on Saturday morning.
Yeah, and I'll post it on my Way In Sports website, Facebook and everything. So what time is that going to start?
If we can get it up and running, Brian, it's going to start at 10 a.m. Eastern, so
okay.
2 hours before all the games begin. That way we got plenty of time to talk about the big games and whatnot, and then we'll go from there.
All right. Well, Cuervo, look forward to hearing from you Saturday. Have a good Friday, and we'll talk to you Saturday, man. Thanks for calling.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Yep. You too. Trey, we have a lot of football going on, man, and just I want to recap the polls real quick. AP and college, or AP and coaches poll, you know, moved Alabama to number one, Trey. You know, Alabama's number one in the AP poll now by a big margin. USC fell. So, I mean, honestly, did USC deserve to lose that ranking?
Well, you know, I still have USC number one, Tarvin, but I like the fact that the pollsters awarded Bama, or I guess rewarded Bama, for playing a big school. If you look at Nick Saban, one of the things that you have to love about him, no matter who you are, is the fact that, you know, if you look at, since he's been at Alabama, Tarvin, more years than not, he's gone out and played someone big in week one. And if you look at the next 2 years, they play Virginia Tech and they play West Virginia. I love the fact that he's doing this, Tarvin, and I love rewarding teams that do it. So they went out and played somebody big. They whooped them, you know, and I don't have a problem with them going to number one at all.
Well, I think Alabama was ranked below Southern Cal because, you know, something to write about and an interesting discussion having Southern Cal won, but I think people were worried a little bit about the defense of Alabama, maybe how it would look, how it would hold up losing that many starters. But, I mean, honestly, Alabama looked the same as they did last year, Trey. It's the first game of the season, for Christ's sake. I mean, they looked already polished in midseason form, man.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, one of the things that we're going to see, and this is not just this year, but as we go towards the four-team playoff, and I think some coaches are basically trying to make their mark to go into this, and Nick Saban's one of those guys who will play big teams, you know, and like I said, you look at their schedule in the coming years, they're going to keep doing it, and it's going to be more and more important for teams to do this because it's going to be like college basketball. You know, you want to be one of those four teams, you have to have a very good strength of schedule, and it's going to matter not just to your conferences, but it's going to matter is who you play at a conference, and I think you're already seeing people start to reward the teams that do that, and they do it well. And Alabama did it, and they did it very well.
So did you hear Nick Saban's press conference and what he said to the media?
I did not.
He came in, and he just went off on the guys in a good way. He wasn't too rude, but he told the guys, he said, I wish you guys would write about something besides everybody's writing about how bad the team they're playing is. Who are they playing this week? Western Kentucky. How bad Western Kentucky is and how great Alabama is. It just, that stuff just aggravates Nick Saban to no end. And he just, you know, he says, why is anyone predicting games, Trey? He said it takes the fun out of games when people predict outcomes. So I just love the fact Nick Saban's always on those media guys, man. He's always wearing them out. And then he said, I'm sorry to intimidate y'all. He said, I'm sorry to be mean. Now y'all can ask me some questions if y'all still want to. But Nick Saban, though, I mean, being an Auburn and Alabama rivalry, but, I mean, he's a coach of all coaches, man. I mean, he recruits like there's no tomorrow. His game plans are perfect, man. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that Alabama right now is the number one team in the country. And just like you said, I'm glad they moved him up. But here's the deal, Trey. Why is Oklahoma still in the top five? That's my biggest concern right now. So, okay, you reward Alabama. You move them up for their performance and what they scheduled. So why is Oklahoma still in the top five after looking like a 100th ranked team in the country?
Yeah, obviously they rewarded Alabama, and they didn't penalize Oklahoma. So, you know, you look at some of the pollsters, how they had West Virginia ranked really low, and so you just got to wonder. I mean, obviously we can kind of see what they did with Alabama, but with other teams, I mean, they must still think, you know, first game jitters. I mean, because it wasn't like Oklahoma was the only team to struggle in week one. I mean, like we talked about before, you know, Wisconsin struggled and some other teams struggled, but, you know, they certainly didn't penalize Oklahoma at all.
So I heard something today, and I just read it, about Southern Cal. One of the reasons they might have dropped below Alabama is because the NCAA is there investigating someone in the program giving extra benefits to a running back. I'm trying to think of his name for Southern Cal. Have you heard anything about Southern Cal and the NCAA?
I heard that there's a possible investigation, but that's about it. I didn't get any details.
Yeah, Southern Cal could be in trouble if something else is dug up. It wouldn't surprise me with Lane Kiffin running the show. With them. But you know, I think looking at this poll, if I was going to make any tweaks to this AP poll, it's Alabama, Southern Cal, LSU. They're the only three teams to get first place votes. And you have Oregon, Oklahoma, Florida State, Georgia, Arkansas, South Carolina, and West Virginia tied. I mean, you can't really argue with that. You know, you can't really look at that poll and argue, hey, they're all top 10 teams right now. But
yeah.
Oklahoma needs to drop. Florida State needs to move up a little bit in that. If I were to make any adjustments, I would put Florida State ahead of Oklahoma right here.
Well, I mean, I think right now there's four teams who matter, I mean, to be honest. And I'm a Florida State guy. I think I have us at five. But until we beat Clemson, it doesn't matter. Nothing really matters for Florida State until they actually go out and beat a team that they should beat, you know, that they need to beat. They'll be in the national stage. I think, you know, the top four teams are right now a little bit of a bar above everyone else. And I think that's Oregon, USC, LSU, and Alabama. And I think that right now, like every other team's, you know, week in, week out opportunity to play their way into that kind of tier. But I just don't see I think there's a big drop-off after four right now, Tarvin.
Yeah, and I think, well, I mean, that's a good point right now there is. Let's let the season play out a little bit to see how, if it is, because, you know, there's always that team that gets better every week and they appear. It could be a West Virginia. It could be a Florida State. It could be Arkansas. You never know, but
yeah.
There's always going to be that team. But looking at this, I mean, it's top heavy with SEC, you know, in the Pac-12. So give me a team, Trey, outside of the top 10 right now, that you could possibly make a run to win a national championship this year. The dark horse.
Wow. Outside of the top 10. You know, I think Michigan State's in the top 10. They would be the team that I think that would be a pretty big dark horse contender outside of the top 10. I mean, because you look at, there's like, you know, all the big SEC schools are there. The team that I've seen a lot of dark horse type material in this regard, I think West Virginia is actually 11th in one of the polls. They would be a dark horse. You can look at Michigan State, and then if you really want to go dark horse, Tarvin, you'd probably go Georgia. And, you know, it's hard to pick outside the SEC. But if I had to eliminate the four SEC teams that are in the top 10, you know, I think Georgia had that year, so I'd go Georgia.
Okay. Looking outside the top 10, you know, with Sammy Watkins coming back to Clemson, they looked pretty good the other night. And I know Dabo's always good for a loss or two or three or four. But, you know, looking at their schedule, if they can beat Florida State next weekend, and, you know, I mean, the schedule's pretty easy for Clemson. So they could be that team, if they went undefeated, they could make a run at that national championship game, because I think Clemson's built up respect, you know, over the years playing with Dabo Swinney and what he's done. He's brought a little, you know, flair to the program. So do you think Clemson, if they went undefeated, would easily be in the championship game?
I think given the fact that they played Auburn, an SEC team, week one, if Auburn were to win 8 or 9 games, I think, yeah, you'd have they'd be in there, Tarvin, for sure. Because, you know, if that situation were to play out, you know, you're talking about well, I guess it really depends, Tarvin, because if you had a USC or an Oregon undefeated and an LSU or Alabama undefeated, you know, you're going to have an undefeated Clemson team just watching. Because, I mean, unless, you know, USC and Oregon split, and then you have like an undefeated LSU or undefeated Bama team, then, yeah, absolutely Clemson gets in that game over a one-loss USC team or a one-loss Oregon team.
Okay, just pretend. Play with me a minute here. So just say there's a 14 playoff starting tomorrow. Alabama plays Oregon, Southern Cal plays LSU. Who wins each game, and who plays for the championship and wins that?
I'm sticking with my well, actually, I don't know if I can. The Alabama would play Oregon, right?
Yep.
Well, you just took out my national championship because I got LSU and USC. So I would say USC beats LSU and Alabama beats Oregon.
And Southern Cal and Alabama in Miami, who wins?
I think Southern Cal is going to be a little bit healthier, so I got Southern Cal winning it, because I think that Alabama is going to have a tougher road. Well, it's hard. I tell you what, I'm not picking against an SEC team. And
Nick Saban and Nick Saban getting a month to prepare again.
Yeah, I can't. If Alabama gets to the national championship game, they're going to win it.
Yeah, I mean this is, that defense is, you know, Southern Cal's strength is their offense, correct? That's everything.
Yeah.
They have offense, but Alabama's good enough to match up man for man with Southern Cal and hold them in check. So in the depth, you know, of Southern Cal's defense, can they hold up running the ball, Alabama's rushing attack? Man, that would be a great Final Four, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, and you know, you're going to see that kind of thing happen, I think, when this happens, and you know, people are going to complain about, you know, these teams in the same conference. Well, get over it, and you know, to beat them, you know, you got to beat them. So that's the way it is.
Who's the famous man that said that?
That's your old boy, Ric Flair.
Okay, good. You know, I mean, this is going to be exciting this year. And, you know, Auburn's 0-1 right now. They're not going to win a championship anyway, probably, but it's going to be fun to watch these guys grow. But I'm also excited to see who comes in and from the SEC. Can the SEC get back in this game? And I think yes. I'm just excited to see how this unfolds, all of it. Man, college football is the best sport in the world, everybody out there listening. And you know as well as I do, there's nothing more exciting than waking up on Sunday morning or Saturday morning to watch a game. Trey, I couldn't even go to sleep last Friday night. I was so excited about Saturday. So, I mean, it's so exciting to watch college football. And I think after this week two, I mean, it's going to be exciting this week, but starting after week two, you start seeing some huge, huge matchups in conference play.
Yeah. It'll be time for the conferences to really start weeding out the teams that, you know, are posers.
Yeah, and I mean, I look through college football every week, you know, and just look at some matchups, and if it holds true, I mean, I think next week Clemson, Florida State play, right?
It's the week after. Next week, Florida State has Wake Forest.
Okay, but Clemson, Florida State, what a huge matchup. And then the next weekend we have Alabama travels to Arkansas for their first conference game. I mean, it's going to start getting hairy. LSU is going to get into the meat of their schedule. They play Auburn in 2 weeks, I believe. It's going to be crazy, man. SEC is rolling. Big 12, though, Trey. Looking at the Big 12 conference, I picked West Virginia to win the conference.
Yeah.
Are you seeing any team in the Big 12 right now that could – any matchups in the Big 12 in the near future that interest you?
Well, you know, certainly I think, you know, if you watched week one in the Big 12, you looked like a pretty smart guy versus my Oklahoma pick. But it's a long season, and, yeah, I think West Virginia, you know, obviously a lot of people are on that bandwagon now, but they still got to go and play Texas. They still got to go and play Oklahoma. So we'll see, Tarvin, because, you know, those are going to be the matchups. But certainly it looks like Geno Smith and the West Virginia, the old Mountaineers, looked pretty talented in week one.
Yeah, I mean, it's West Virginia, man. It's making me look like a genius. So thank you, Geno Smith, and Dana Holgorsen, the coach. I think that's his name. I'm going, but, you know, making me look good and like a professional here. So I love to be right. So this weekend, Trey, Sunday night, when you call in, I'm going to get to go over all the games I beat you in and predicting them. So,
just remember that I'm the person that almost that picked William and Mary to beat Maryland, and that was a 7-6 game. So
hey, I have to give you that one, man. That was that was a good one. But let's run through real quick the NFL games, and let's pick the games real quick before we get off here. So everybody, stay with us. I know you love college football, I do too. But this is Week One NFL, and it's important. So. We've already predicted some of these games, Trey. So,
yeah.
First game, the Colts and the Bears. Bears at home, favored 10.
Oh, yeah, Bears.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see the Colts keeping this one close, honestly. The Eagles are traveling to Cleveland, favored 9 points. Who do you have?
The Eagles are going to win this game. I think Cleveland has a shot to be the worst team in the NFL this year, record-wise, even though I think they're going to be – I think they're improving towards where they need to get, but I think the Sean McCoy is going to have a huge day.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Eagles roll in this one, no doubt about it. New York, we've already picked that game. We've already talked about the Saints, Washington. Here's a game that nobody's talked, we haven't talked about tonight, that I think could be upset alert if you're talking NFL. The Titans are at home playing the New England Patriots. Tennessee, I mean, their defense is good, and they always play New England tough. What do you have in this game, Trey? New England favored 6.
New England wins by 17.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to say England wins this game by 4 points. It's going to be a close game. New England, Tom Brady on the last drive pulls it out. So what does everybody in the chat room say? Go Titans, Chris Smelly says. New England, if they're going to struggle, Trey, it's going to be early in the season. I'm hoping Tom Brady has a great game on my fantasy team, of course, but Tennessee plays well at home against New England. So you're going big with New England, huh?
Yep.
Okay. All right, the Vikings are at home, favored 3.5 over Jacksonville. Adrian Peterson is probable now. So what do you have on this game?
Yeah, this is my upset surprise. Jacksonville wins by 3.
Hey, I can't really argue with you there. I have Jacksonville as well to pull the upset in this one. So where's the angry gopher at? Is he on? Okay. I don't see Jason. He's on the chat room, but he didn't hear me yet, but he will. So, anything, Trey, how much does Adrian Peterson actually play in this game? And for all fantasy owners out there right now listening that has Adrian Peterson, such as myself, how much is he going to play? And actually, how much impact is he going to have in this game?
He'll play some, Carvin. He'll probably play, I'd say, 25, 30 plays. He'll play 20. I'd say one more play than that. I'd say he's going to play less in the first quarter, probably. He'll probably play a little bit more as the game goes along. You know, the thing about him, Tarvin, from a fantasy perspective, you got two guys who, by name, you want to start in this game. That's Maurice Jones-Drew and, of course, your boy there. But I don't think either one of them are fantasy starts. I think that Rashard Jennings gets most of the yards for the Jaguars. And I think if you're going to start somebody for the Vikings, you start Gerhardt. I think AP will get some touches, Tarvin, but they're not going to be running him. He's not going to be on the field all three downs, Tarvin. Probably one out of every three downs.
Okay. And we picked the Lions, our favorite 7.5 over the Rams. I have the Lions. But I have them covering the spread, too. I have them winning big.
Yeah,
we talked
about
Falcons and Chiefs. Falcons over the Chiefs pretty big. Green Bay, San Francisco. I had Green Bay and you did too. Carolina at Tampa. You never gave me your winner, Trey.
I think Carolina wins that game. And just from a fantasy perspective, Tarvin, the receiver you want to keep your eye on for the Lions, we know we passed that game, is Titus Young. Look for him to have a big game.
Okay. I don't have him on my team, so. I have Carolina winning that game, too. So how does Cam Newton match up with the Tampa Bay defense in this game?
Well, you know, Tampa Bay has got a young defense. I mean, Barron is probably – there are a lot of people have him picked to be one of the defensive rookies of the year. They're going to be improved, Tarvin. I think they're going to be a lot – they're going to play a lot of games very close, but they're going to lose those games this year. You know, I think Josh Freeman does take a little bit of a step forward from last year, but I just think that you know, look for Brandon LaFell to have a big game in this one, too, for old Cam Newton.
Okay, Arizona's at home. Underdog, 3 points to Seattle. Russell Wilson starting the game at quarterback for Seattle. John Skelton, the starter for Arizona. Trey, who do you have?
Yeah, I mean, which quarterback plays better? I don't know. Ryan Williams is probably going to get most of the touches. Beanie Wells probably for the goal line for the Cardinals. I don't know how much Marshawn Lynch plays in this game, Tarvin. So I'm going to pick the Cardinals to cover in this game, but I don't know if they win.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Seattle to win this game by probably 7 to 10 points. I think Seattle's going to be on a roll this year. Going to Arizona is not going to be a problem with John Skelton, the quarterback. I have to go with Seattle in this one. And, you know, just looking at it, there's a lot of good games in the NFL this week. Week one action. We have Sunday night action with Peyton Manning. A lot of football this Saturday, man. It's just, if you love being at home on the weekend watching football, there's a lot of good games on for you. I am going to try to see that 70-point line you keep talking about, Trey. So I'm going to go find that point spread to see. But Alabama favored 42 over Western Kentucky. Do they cover, Trey?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, I think so. I mean, just a lot of good games. So Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, we're back on regular time, 9 p.m. Eastern, next Wednesday night as well. We had to do Thursday. Something came up, and I had to move nights, which won't happen again, hopefully, I promise, guys. Anything you want to talk about before we go? Do you want to touch on a little Major League Baseball?
No, I think let's save it for Sunday, Tarvin. I think we'll break down we'll know a little bit more about the pennant races, but the one preview I will tell you, Tarvin, is everyone's saying, oh, gosh, the Yankees are done for because they got tied and they went out by a game. Here's the one thing to pay attention to in that race, and I'm a Rays fan. I'd love to see the Rays come out of this. But if you look at the last 10 games for the Yankees and the last 10 games for the Rays and the Orioles, the schedule is a very big advantage for the Yankees. So I'd look for the Yankees to win this division.
Yeah, that matters a lot. But, the Yankees aren't healthy. So I'm very impressed with the way Baltimore and Tampa have made a run for this division. So it's going to get interesting, as always. I remember last year Tampa Bay was there on the last day. Remember that game when they beat the Yankees?
Great game. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the game, right, where they were down like 9 to nothing and they come back.
Evan Longoria hit the home run, yeah.
Yep. So Sunday night, everybody, please join us. I mean, we're going to have a big show. I know we'll be featured, but hopefully we'll be staff picked. We need a lot of callers. We need a lot of participation in our show. And I know we threw everybody off by having to do it on Thursday, but I'd rather do it on Thursday than not do it at all, Trey. So thanks for joining me tonight, taking time out of your schedule, rearranging it to help me out. And thanks for flying solo for a few minutes while we were getting past those technical difficulties tonight. So it's been a good show. I'm looking over in the studio, and we have one caller that wants to get in real quick. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, this is just Quinn.
Hey, just Quinn. How are you?
I'm good. I was busy moving my sister, and so I didn't get to call in, but I have a few comments to say on the Auburn game and on the Notre Dame game. Our defense needs to learn how to tackle for Auburn.
Yeah. You're right about that.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. Like, what was wrong with they couldn't wrap up guys?
Well, it goes back to like last year. I mean, it looked like the same thing to me, It looked like the same thing as last year, having trouble tackling, and I hope they get it fixed. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's making me pretty mad during that game, especially in the fourth quarter when we could have gotten the ball back.
Well, Quinn, the thing that frustrated me the most was the third down and couldn't get off the field on third downs again, No matter what, third and 15, third and 8, it didn't matter. Someone was breaking through a tackle and getting a first down to continue a drive, which wore our defense out. So it's very frustrating when you can't get off the field on third down.
Yeah, so hopefully they can get a win Saturday.
All right, what about Notre Dame?
Notre Dame, I think they played pretty well. I didn't get to watch much of that game because I had practice, but I thought they did it. I thought from some of the game I saw and highlights and just the stats, they seemed they played pretty well.
Yeah, Notre Dame covered the spread last week and big rivalry against Purdue this week. So we'll see what happens. Anything else before we go, Quinn?
I think we'll cover the spread there, too. We should beat Notre Dame should beat Purdue pretty easily, I think.
And your Bears are playing the Colts this week?
I think they'll have to get pressure on Luck. I think if they get pressure on Luck, that he's gonna panic a little and maybe throw a couple picks. Or if he gets hit once, pretty hard, I think he'll get a little panicky.
Yeah. Well, Quinn, man, thank you for the call, man, and give us a shout Saturday, Sunday night. Listen in. See how we did on our predictions.
All right, I will.
All right, take care, man. Trey, anything before we go, man?
You know, no, Tarvin, I'd like to thank everyone for staying with us tonight through all of our difficulties with Blog Talk, and I know we ran a lot longer than we normally did because we were having so much problems in the very beginning. So thanks to everybody for joining us on an off night for us on a Thursday and through problems. You know, I really love the fact that we have people who call in are always in our chat room because, without that, man, this thing wouldn't be good at all. So thanks to all you guys for staying with us.
Yeah, spread the word about the chat room. Get your friends in. Follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. And thank my wife, Michelle, for doing the introduction. That was the highlight of the evening, Trey.
it was a lot better than I could do, that's for sure.
Exactly. So thank her for doing that. And she's had a tough week at work, too. So Friday tomorrow, so we just got to make it one more day that we get to college football. So join us Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to another great show. And thanks again for joining us.
Yep.